We are in a kind of a different type of a series where we're doing this once a month series on communion. And so on the first Sundays of every month, we are going back and remembering. And what we do at communion, we're just taking kind of the whole service to do it. And this is our third part in that. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at the same passage that we did last month, which is Exodus 12. So it's the second book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. If you didn't bring one, there's one in the pew in front of you. If you don't own a Bible, please take that one home. It's yours. Otherwise, all the text will be up on the screen as well. We're going to read a good portion of this from Exodus 12 this morning to get our minds kind of going on this idea of the Passover or of Jesus' sacrifice. Of course, communion itself is completely intended to get our minds back on Jesus. Now, our minds, maybe it's just me, my mind has a tendency to go a lot of different places, even on Sunday morning. Okay, I'm not the only one. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take our minds and we're going to bring them back to the cross. And that's going to be our goal, is that we will do everything we do this morning in remembrance of Jesus. Get our minds back on him. And I'll bet you bottom dollar that life will be a little better walking out than it will walking in the more we get our minds wrapped around Jesus, okay? So that's what we're going to do this morning. To get us caught up to speed on Exodus 12, the children of Israel, God's children, were in slavery in Egypt. They had grown into this huge, massive people group, maybe 2 million people or so is how many children of Israel there were. The Egyptians were intimidated, afraid of them. They thought they might partner with some other of their enemies and take over Egypt. And so what Egypt did is they shrewdly put them in bondage and they took them as their slaves and they set what they call taskmasters over them. And so God's children were in bondage. They were in slavery. And God, of course, raised up this deliverer named Moses. And Moses was to be the one to set the Israelites free. And so he went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was not his name. That was his title. He went to the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he said, I want my children to be able to, want my people to be able to go into the wilderness and have a feast to worship me. And Pharaoh said, you ain't going anywhere. You're staying right where you belong, working. And so then God started to send plagues. In fact, he sent this series of 9 plagues upon Egypt. And the Israelites were there, but none of the plagues affected them. And so all this darkness and frogs and lice and all this nasty stuff, blood turning into water that the Egyptians, that they were experiencing, but Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. Now, I hope that all of our hearts this morning are in a place where they're soft. I hope that we're all ready just to hear, not what Mark has to say, that's not the key, but what God has to say. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and so he wouldn't let him go. And so this final plague was the one that we're going to read about, is the plague of death. And the angel of death would come in and swoop over and kill all the firstborn. And so that's where we pick it up, and we're going to read a little bit from Exodus 12. And so much of this text, like when we talked about this last month, Jesus as our Passover lamb, and we looked at that on Palm Sunday, now we're going to look at a different aspect which points us to Christ, and this is the feast of what they call unleavened bread. And this morning, all morning, we are going to talk about bread. All right, let's start in Exodus 12, verse 1, right up here. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. The lamb shall be without blemish." Again, here's a picture of Jesus. "A lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." Here's a picture of blood. We'll be remembering this in communion as well. "They shall take some of the blood from this lamb that was sacrificed, and they shall put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on fire with," Here's our first time we're going to hear this word, unleavened bread. Now that is the Hebrew word matzah. And maybe you've heard that word before. You can buy matzah. That's actually what we have sitting right here. This is matzah bread. And we're going to talk about all of that today. But that's the first time that this word is used, this idea of unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted. Talking about the lamb now, its head with its legs and its inner part. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it. Look at this. With your belt fastened. That's good. So there's no, you know, okay. But with sandals on your feet and with your staff in your hand, you shall eat it with haste. This is very important. They ate this meal in haste because the angel of death was coming. Death was coming. They had to eat this meal quickly because something was coming that was very terrible. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But they had to eat it quick because of what was happening. Verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." Verse 13, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you." This is what we call Passover. "I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Here's the picture. These first nine plagues didn't affect Israel whatsoever, but this 10th plague would have. The 10th plague was a picture of death that was coming, and had the Israelites not had the blood to save them, they would have died just like everybody else. Again, we can see all the ties this is bringing us to Jesus. "The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are." Again, we're in verse 13. "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Verse 14, "This day shall be for you a memorial day." A day to remember. That's what we're doing this morning. "And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." Now, verse 15 is very key in terms of unleavened bread. 7 days, so for a week, you shall eat unleavened bread. Seven, of course, is the number of completion. There's something complete that's happening here. There's a full picture that we're going to see. "On the first day, you shall remove the leaven out of your houses." Picture this, on that first day, anything that is a leavening agent, we're going to talk about those in a little bit, is to be removed. You are to clean out, to clear out, to get all the leaven or leavening agents, get them all out of your house because something's happening. We'll talk about that. "For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel." Now, this leaven would be something, if you were caught at the wrong time with leaven, this is something that could cut you off from being God's child, from being God's children. It would be a cutting off kind of a point. Interestingly enough, the first leavened bread, this is historical, not biblical. Just pause with me for a moment. The first leavened bread that was ever found anywhere was found in Egypt. So the first records that we have of any nation or any country or any people group using a leavening agent is in Egypt. Now that's interesting because that's where the children of Israel were. And so kind of what God was saying was, I know leavening may be popular in Egypt, but that's a remnant of who they are, not who you are. So get rid of all the leaven. That's not who you are. So God was saying, clear all that out right away. Verse 16, "On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared for you." And here he's going to give the title of what he wants this feast to be called. "And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever." Let's open in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. I pray, God, that now in these next few moments our minds could go back, that we could remember you, that we could remember what you did, we could remember who you are, remember the sacrifice that you made, Jesus, on our behalf. Lord, help us to think back and then to think forward of who we are now. God, we praise you. I ask you to redeem this time. Holy Spirit, move now. May these be your words, your spirit. God, we just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Unleavened bread. matzah. I was thinking about matzah this week and wondering, you know, how tough is this stuff to make? Is this like a big, huge process? And so I did a little Googling matzah bread recipe. And so this week, my family, we made matzah bread. And so, truthfully, it doesn't take that long. It's pretty simple. So we're going to make some matzah bread this morning. We're going to cook up a little unleavened bread. But I need an assistant. And so I asked my shoe chef, there you go, PT, Pastor Thomas, come on up. Pastor Thomas is going to make a little matzah bread. And yeah, let's make some matzah. If this was a Bayside, we'd call it lots of matzah. All right, so apologize. Okay, anyway, so we're going to make some matzah bread this morning. And Pastor Tom is going to need some young assistants, okay? Not right now, but when we get this matzah ball made up, he's going to go back into the kitchen and he's going to make some of this up. And we need some of you students. What age do you think? High school? Yeah, I got to cut it off somewhere or you'll all go. I know that. You'd rather be there baking bread than listening to me. I understand that. All right. So anyway, if you're a student, all right, you define student, 12th grade. Okay, high school or younger. You can go back and he's going to need some helpers and you'll go back and you'll learn how to make matzah bread this morning. But let's make some right now. There's two ingredients. This is our kind of recipe, right? Yeah, two ingredients. Flour and guess what else? There you go. Two ingredients. We're not going to put any leavening agent in here, okay, because this is unleavened bread. Go ahead. And what you do is you incorporate this very slowly. You like that word incorporation? I learned that. That means you dump it. You dump the water. You incorporate the water very slowly. Nice job, PT.
And you too. You're a good pourer.
Thanks. I'm a good incorporator. Yeah, thanks. And so you just incorporate this. You can't do it all at once, so you're not going to have a nice matzah. All right, now the interesting thing about matzah bread is according to Jewish and rabbinic tradition, this bread had to be from the moment that the first drop of water hit the wheat here, hit this flour, you had to have it completed in 18 minutes because it could start to actually ferment and rise in 18 minutes. And so you had to get this thing done in haste. Okay, so Thomas, you're going to have like, how are you doing?
I got like 17 minutes and 15 seconds.
17 minutes and 15 seconds. Are you ready? You think you can do this?
Yeah, I could use some help, though.
All right, he needs some help. Any students that want to go with, go ahead. Follow him right out to the kitchen. Go ahead. Yeah, we know. Yeah, the whole crowd of students went off earlier. It's okay. There you go. Help Pastor Thomas make some matzah. Now, Thomas, when you get it done, you come on back in, okay? We want to see that you made matzah this morning. All right, matzah bread. We're going to see. I know you're jealous. Here's what I did. Back on the Welcome Center, here's a matzah bread recipe. All right, we made these up. This is the recipe that we used this week, and so you can grab one of these. Now, there's a lot of, and you're going to, after the service today, you're going to see a lot of the really neat things, the teaching moments, and Pastor Tom is going to give some teaching moments back there and some different things, but this is a really simple thing that you can do at home and just make up some matzah bread, whether it's just you or your family or whoever, it's kind of fun. So anyway, that's back on the Welcome Center. You know, this idea of unleavened bread was something that followed the children of Israel throughout all the generations. In fact, almost every one of their sacrifices that they made had to be made with unleavened bread. Now when we think of leaven, we think of what? Yeast. Yeast is the most common leavening agent that we have. And we just go to Cub Foods or Super One or whatever, and we buy some yeast. We buy either dry yeast, we might buy brewer's yeast, we might buy wet yeast. But the children of Israel did not have Super One. So what they had to do is they actually made their own leavening agent. And what they would do is they would take a little bit of that, let's say that matzah dough that he had made up there, they would take that and they would let it sit out for a few days. And what would happen is a fungus. Did you know all leavening agents are actually fungi? That's what they are. They are a fungus, a live fungus that begins to eat the sugars in the dough, and it sort of chemically reacts to that and produces these carbon dioxide fermented gas bubbles. That's why your bread rises. Isn't that attractive? That's when the dough becomes big and spongy. But they didn't have that kind of yeast back in the day. And so what they would do is they'd take a piece of their unleavened bread and they just set it out. And it would start to get this fungus, this attractive, yummy fungus. And it would grow. And then that then would become their leavening agent. And they would use that. It'd become like a sourdough type of bread. And they would use that then as their leavening agent or their kind of version of yeast. But now the interesting thing was I listened to a podcast this week from a man from Jerusalem, from Israel. He's a baker, okay? He's not a believer, but he was talking about what in the ancient tradition, and they still do this. When they would get this initial leavening agent, and what I did is I took a little bit of bread and I left it in here. So this is partially leavened. I got a little fungi going on in here. But what you can do with this is you can actually use this and reuse this and keep using this. This is sort of your starter leavening agent. But then listen to this, and we're going to think about this in a different realm. If you continue to feed this, if you continue to put a little bit of flour and a little bit of sugar in there, this one leavening agent will last for hundreds of years. And in fact, they pass these leavening agents on down through certain generations. And if you teach your children how to keep leaven going, your children will actually have remnants of your leavening agent that you produce. Now, we're going to talk about this maybe not in such a positive way in a little bit, but that's what a leavening agent is, and that's what they would have used. Now, Moses, we're going to read another verse from Deuteronomy. Moses gives us another picture of Christ, really, and this idea of unleavened bread. Deuteronomy 16:3. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. Talking again about one of the feasts. 7 days you shall eat it with unleavened bread. Now he defines what unleavened bread is. He said it's the bread of affliction. The bread of affliction. We're going to come up with a definition of matzah here in a moment. But it's the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that all the days of your life you may remember the day when you came out of Egypt. Now, when we combine these two passages from Exodus and Deuteronomy, we come up with a definition of matzah. Here is what unleavened bread is from a full biblical perspective. Matzah is this. It is the unleavened bread of affliction, of depression, of misery, and of chastisement. Now, I want you to think about those words relating to you. Unleavened bread, matzah bread, is the unleavened bread of affliction, of depression, of misery, and as chastisement. Think again, if you will, for a moment. The children of Israel were in slavery. They were slaves. That's who they were. They were in bondage. They were in slavery. They were being afflicted. They were being pushed down, depressed. They were in misery, and they were being chastised. That's who they were. That defined the children of Israel. And so when God was telling them, eat unleavened bread and use this in all of your celebrations and your festivals and your feasts, what was he trying to do? He was saying to them, don't forget who you were. Don't forget that you were slaves. Don't forget that you were being chastised, you were being mistreated, because the cries of Israel came before the Lord. That's what caused him to send Moses as the deliverer, because he heard their cries, because his kids were being afflicted, they were depressed, they were being chastised. That's who they were. All of these feasts were to help them to do this in remembrance of who they were. All right, let's keep that in our mind as we look at some New Testament application. We're going to go through a couple verses, three or so from the New Testament, that give us an application to leaven. To leaven. What does leaven mean for us? Because many of the Old Testament prophets, and then even when Jesus came on the scene, he started to use leaven in his teaching. Started to talk about leaven. Now remember, leavening is what they weren't supposed to have. Leavening was the fungus. Leaven was the bad stuff, the stuff of Egypt, not the stuff of who they were and who they were to be. When you hear leaven, remember, it's always a negative correlation. And in fact, when Jesus and Paul used leaven, it always referred to sin. Leaven was a correlation to sin in people's lives. Let's read a few of these New Testament passages. First of all, from Luke 12, Verse 1, Jesus speaking of leaven. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he, that's Jesus, began to say to his disciples first, beware. Now when you hear beware, he's saying, listen up, be careful. What I'm going to now tell you, you probably have the tendency towards. What I'm going to say to you now applies to you. If it didn't apply to them, he wouldn't have said beware. He's saying, I'm going to give you an example of something that's bad. You beware so you don't go there too. All right, here's what he's telling us. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. What is Jesus saying? The Pharisees were very good at speaking the truth and not living it. They were very good at having all the truth wrapped up in their head and never applying it. They were very, very good at condemning sin, but not loving the sinner. They were hypocritical. They were Pharisees. They were holier than thou. They had it all right and everybody else had it all wrong. There was no humility. They were hypocrites. Now, maybe you've heard this. Maybe you've heard this about a certain church in Superior, on New York and Belknap. No, you... You know that church? They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Not saying we've heard that about Bay. Have you ever heard that expression? They're just a bunch of hypocrites. That's all they are. Now, is that true? Maybe. Do they know every one of those people in that church? No. There's no way that if they say they're just a bunch of hypocrites, they're looking in from the outside. What have they done? They've met a person or two whose life doesn't match their message, and they've said, that whole bunch is a bunch of hypocrites. What has happened? A little bit of leaven, a little bit of hypocrisy had an influence on the whole group. That's what's going on, is a little leaven is leaven. When you use yeast, you don't need to use a ton of yeast to make a thing of bread rise, do you? No, you get a loaf of bread with a little yeast, and that thing will rise right up. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little hypocrisy goes a long way. We need to, my friends, and don't take this as a religious statement this morning, but we need to be very, very careful that our lives match our message. We need to be very careful. Now, does that mean we're perfect? Please, no. Please don't even go there, because this guy standing up here is not. Never claimed to be. But we need to be very careful that as far as it relies upon us, the best that we can, our lives and the love that we show reflects the message that we are proclaiming. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because that, if we don't, that is hypocrisy. When we proclaim love and we say we love a God of love and we're all about loving the community and then we ignore them, and then we drive by or we walk by or we get selfish and we spend all of our resources on us, then we're hypocrites. And a little hypocrisy goes a long way. Are we perfect? No. But as far as it relies upon us, we have to make sure that our lives are matching our message. Jesus said, beware. He's saying this could apply to you if you're not careful. If you speak of love, then show love. If you have accepted God's grace, then reflect God's grace. If you've loved the fact that you've been set free, then help set other people free and use your time and your resources and your energy and your skills, all that you have wrapped up within you, to be a part of bringing Jesus if you've received him. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Paul, let's move on to the Apostle Paul. He also talks about leaven. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8. He's telling us to get rid of some old leaven. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. Now that's an interesting statement. Look at that first sentence. He said, cleanse out the old leaven, sin, even though you really are unleavened. So, okay, just go with me for a moment here. Get rid of the stuff that you don't have. Make sure you clean out that part of the closet that's clean. That's what he's saying. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you are really are unleavened. Okay, that's a little confusing now, isn't it? What is he saying? He's saying in Christ, When you've put your faith in Jesus, you have taken on the very righteousness of Christ himself. You've become sinless in God's eyes. Positionally, you are clean. Jesus talked about that. You're clean. He told them that in the book of John. You're all clean except one of you. He said, you're clean. What is he saying? You are really unleavened positionally. Then he's saying, now practically, live that out. If you see any sin inside of you, if you know of any sin, get rid of it. Clean it out. Let's keep going. Why do we do this? What's our motivation? Look at our motivation. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. If you're struggling so much with sin and sin is eating you up and there's a specific sin, go here. Go to the cross. Remember what Jesus did for you. The more we focus on sin, the more power sin will have. The more we focus on Christ, we'll realize who we are in him. You want sin to have less power? Remember Jesus. Fix your eyes and your minds and your hearts on him, and sin will start to reduce in power. Why are we really unleavened? For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Look at verse 8. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and envy, that's sin. We're not going to celebrate that. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That means in Christ, the truth is we've been set free. Amen? We've been made sinless. We've been made righteous. We've been given the very inheritance of Christ himself. We've been given all the great and precious promises of Jesus. Oh, that's pretty good news. What's Paul saying? Clean up. Cleanse out the old leaven. Get rid of it. Remember this deal here? Long-term leaven, old leaven. What does this take to survive? Feeding. A good feeding now and then. If we have sin in our life, if there is an old sin, and I don't know what that sin looks like for you, none of us are perfect other than positionally in Christ. None of us live our lives without sinning. If there's any old sin, I don't know what, idolatry, pride, greed, selfishness, lust. I don't know what the sin is. We all got something. Whatever this is, Paul, God is telling us through Paul, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't accept it. Don't justify. I'm just going to be honest. I think the church today is doing far too much justification and ignoring of sin. We're glossing over sin, and Paul is saying, clean it out. You've been made positionally sinless. Now start to hate sin the way I hate sin. Whose sin do we want to start with? Our own. Let's start there. You want to hate some sin? Let's hate our own. It's very convenient and comfortable to hate others, but let's hate our own. I think we're doing too much justifying of sin. I believe we can begin to learn to live with sin. I think we can teach ourselves how to have our hearts hardened about sin, even as followers of Jesus. I think we can start to accept sin in our life and start to get where we're calloused and hardened about specific sin. And we take this and we just kind of hide it away and we put it over there. And if nobody else sees it, then maybe it's, but we feed it. We just keep feeding it and so it lasts. And it's old leaven. And God's saying, get rid of it. I had a conversation, this is a few years ago, with a businessman, and he ran a very immoral business. It was a bad business, but I actually had a very nice lunch with him. And we started talking about just different things. And I started to ask him, I'm like, because we kind of got honest. And I said, how do you live with yourself? Because he knew, he was very clear that the business he was doing was not positive. It wasn't good. I said, how do you live with yourself? And he said, well, you know what? I've just taught myself how to sleep at night. He's taught himself how to sleep at night. What has he done? He's justified sin. He's accepted sin. He said, you know what? We can teach ourselves how to live with old leaven. What Paul is saying is get rid of any old leaven. Get rid of it all. Clean it out. Clear it out. That's not who you are. I hope and I pray for an incredible sensitivity to sin in our lives. Now, some people have thought, as we mature in Christ, do we notice sin more or do we notice sin less? The interesting thing is, I think many of us would think we notice sin less as we mature in Christ because we're sinning less. But in my experience, it's the opposite. The closer that I grow to Jesus, the more I notice sin in my life. Have you experienced that? The more you grow in Jesus, the more you will see, you will identify, and you will begin to hate sin in your own life. Paul is saying, praise the Lord. Clean it out. Clear it out. Do whatever you have to do. Certainly stop feeding it. Certainly stop pouring a little more on there so it continues to have life. So how much sin is too much? How much sin is too much? Galatians 5:9 puts it pretty clearly. We talked about this. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of leaven. Can we get to heaven with a little bit of sin? Can we get to heaven with a little bit of unredeemed sin? No. One sin is too much outside of Christ. Now in Christ, he paid for all of our sin. Amen? Paid for it all. Died once, paid for all of our sin. When we trust in Jesus, if you've never trusted in Jesus, let me encourage you to do it today. Do it today. Trust in Jesus for the salvation of your soul. Because one sin is too much. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. One sin makes us sinners. But in Christ, he became sin who knew no sin. Through Christ and his strength, please listen to this. Through Christ and through his strength, we clean out the greed, the idolatry, the unbelief, the selfishness, the pride, the gluttony, the hatred, the jealousy, and the fear. Through Christ, we clean it out. We work out our old salvation by cleaning out the old leaven. We become unleavened bread, which we now have for us. Look at this crew of chefs. Thomas, how'd we do? We did pretty well? All right, come on up. Let's see what we did. You got some matzah for us, PT?
Yes, I do.
All right, excellent. Oh, look at this. We got some helpers here. Excellent.
We didn't burn it this time. If you came into the church this morning, you might have smelled a little, or if you were here during first service, one of the pieces during first service got caught in the fan of the oven, so there was a little smoke.
Oh, wait, a little smoke?
A lot of smoke.
There you go.
Okay, the ushers were giving me a hard time, okay? I had a good team. We did a good
the
job.
The fire department was giving you a hard time.
Come on now. Okay. All right. Listen to this guy. All right. So what we did was we went back there with all these kids, and we put together this bread. And so, girls, if you want to just kind of unwrap it so they can see it, it doesn't look exactly like the store-bought stuff, but this is your store-bought matzah bread that Mark referenced earlier. And so this is what was just made. I was just turning this up with Mark up here, and we got matzah bread. And it has the stripes in it from the fork and all that. It's all right there, okay? And so that's what that is, and the girls are holding that nicely for us. There was 3 points that we wanted to make, and some of these are kind of what you've already heard from Mark, but the students here are going to share what those 3 points were. And Noah had the first one. Noah S. had the first one. And that was what, Noah?
It was made in haste, which was 18 minutes.
Right, so we did this whole process in 18 minutes. And again, that's just a reminder of what Pastor Mark already mentioned, that the Lord told them to do this in haste. And so we did it very quickly. And the students did a great job following that order and doing it as fast as possible. They did a really good job with that. And so then the second thing that we learned was about the stabbing. And what was that?
We had to stab it 39 times because Jesus got whipped 39 times.
That's right. And that's something that we brought in, the number. They didn't necessarily do it that many times back then, but they stabbed it, and that was representing the affliction that Christ would have. And so what we did was we remembered that Christ was lashed 39 times. And so we had stabbed it 39 times when we went through that process and, as a way of remembering what Christ did for us. And then the final piece of this is Noah's going to share that with us and how it's wrapped in the white cloth. What does that remind us of?
It is wrapped in white linen because Jesus, after his death, he was wrapped in white linen.
That's correct. And so we remember that Christ here was wrapped in the white linen when he went to the tomb. This whole process is all looking towards Christ. And the thing that's amazing about this thing is that the Israelites were doing this 1,500 years before Christ came. And so we can see how powerful and how amazing God is in his perspective of the bigger picture of things that we may not understand when they're happening, but God knew all along what was actually happening. So would you please give a round of applause to my wonderful helpers? Can you go give that to your dad? Go give that to your dad.
Thanks, guys can sit down. Nice job. Oh, it's still warm. Yeah. Did you make 18 minutes?
Yeah, we did.
Did you really? Wow, you guys could just go right over and be chefs. You know, as Pastor Thomas said, this is how this matzah bread would be delivered, how they would remember it. They would wrap it in white linen. And for thousands of years, this is what they would do. They would take this bread and it's a picture of Jesus. Everything about that day, that Exodus, is bringing us this picture that Christ was the bread that came down from heaven. He was the unleavened bread, leaven being a picture of sin. He was without sin. Christ was our unleavened bread. He became leaven for the leaveners. He became sin for those of us who were sinful. The one without leaven and without sin chose to take on all sin for us. And the matzah bread, the unleavened bread of affliction and misery and chastisement, it is all meant to help us to remember Jesus. To remember that we were slaves to sin. We were in bondage to ourselves. We were lost. We were without hope. We were blind. You know, as I listened to that podcast of that Jewish man, and he very clearly said he wasn't a believer, and yet he explained, for an hour, I listened to him explain everything about Jesus. And I just thought, how? How do you understand every aspect and correlation and tie to the bread that came down from heaven and not be trusting in him? And then I realized this is not about bread, and this is not about proof, and this is not about leaven. He's still making it about leaven. For 7 days, he clears his house of any leavening agent, clears it all in preparation for Passover. But this is about faith. This is about trust. This is about the realization that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. That's what this is about. This is remembering that my sin had put me on a quick path to hell, to separation from God. My sin was sending me there. But that Jesus, the bread, came down from heaven and intercepted that plan and stopped that path that I was on and redeemed me. Praise the Lord. He redeemed me. He took a sinner, a person in slavery, a person in bondage, a person who was chastised by sin and my flesh, and he redeemed me. And that's what we remember. That's it. That's what it's all about. Let's go to that night. Let's go to that night of Jesus' betrayal and his death. Mark 14. We're going to read two passages that get us prepared for communion. Mark 14, verse 12. And on the first day of unleavened bread, this is the feast Jesus was remembering, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow them. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher said, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Jesus was getting ready that very night to eat the Passover lamb, but the interesting thing was he would never eat it because he was the Passover lamb. He was the final Passover lamb. He was the final bread from heaven that would come down to be leaven, to be sin for us. Paul continues this night and what Jesus then would say, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. He took matzah bread. That's what he took, the unleavened bread of misery and chastisement. That's what he took, of affliction. He took that bread that night and he broke it. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're going to have a few moments, if the praise team wants to come forward, we're going to have a few moments where we can all just reflect, where we can take just a little bit of time to reflect and to remember what Jesus did. We remember that he who was without sin, the sinless one, became sin for us. What I want to encourage you with this morning is when you get your piece of matzah bread, when this is passed, I want you to just kind of look at it and look at the holes and remember the holes that were in Jesus' wrists and the hole that was in his side and the holes that were in his head from the crown of thorns, the holes that were in his feet. And then look at the bruises on this bread and the darkened, because Jesus was beaten and whipped and the stripes 39 times for you and for me. And remember that Jesus became that sacrifice. He became, allowed himself to be sin for the sinners. Allowed himself. Now I want to have one more thing before we take a few moments. If you haven't trusted in Jesus, if your soul has never found that place of peace with God, and only you know that, we can only know for ourselves whether or not we have truly trusted, relied upon Christ and his sacrifice to save us from our sin. If you've never done that, I want to bring you back to the children of Israel, because they ate this meal in haste because they didn't know specifically when the angel of death was coming. They didn't know for sure. Now, this is not some kind of a scare technique. This is reality. The reality is none of us know what day is going to be our last, do we? None of us know that. And so if you are here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus, let me encourage you, trust in him today. Let today be the day of your salvation. Whether you've been coming to church for years or it's your first time, I don't care. Let today be the day of your salvation. Accept the Lord in haste, because that day is coming. No, whether it's today, tomorrow, or 90 years from now, it's coming. Accept it in haste. And for the rest of us, this is my encouragement. For the rest of us, let's consider whether or not we have any of this in our lives. Whether we have any old leaven, any sin that's been hanging around for just far too long. And let me encourage you, we got to stop feeding it. What do we do with this? We agree with God. God, I am sick of this. God, I need your help with this. God, this is sin. This is wrong. This is not who I am. Because in Christ, I've been made unleavened. So for the rest of us, if we've trusted in Jesus, consider this and come to terms with God on what that is and how he can help us all be delivered from that. I'm going to pray, and then I want us to take a few moments and reflect right before we take communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day that you gave it all, God. And Jesus, you gave your very life. You gave your body. You became leaven. You became sin for those of us who were sinners. God, we didn't deserve this. We didn't have it coming. We certainly can't earn it. God, all we can do is accept it and receive it by faith. We thank you for the grace that you offered. Lord, reveal to us, even in these next few moments, maybe some old sin, some old leaven that needs to go. Reveal that to us. And Father, if there's anyone here who has not trusted in you, Holy Spirit, do your work in their heart, convincing them of the need for you as their Savior. Do that work now. We love you and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.